preaching, sleeping, a window.
Grab your Bible and let's talk.
Welcome to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast, where Bible study and thought-provoking conversation lead to creative teaching. Now, here are your hosts, David and Mary Nelson.
Welcome once again to another episode of Bible Glitter and Glue. I'm Mary, and across from me is David.
Hello.
And we're so glad that you have joined in today as we look at another event in the New Testament in the book of Acts. And I think this story that we're talking about today, David, I think children can particularly relate to.
And Mary, I bet many of our listeners, including you and me, can relate to this story as well. Our story today is in Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. Paul is nearing the end of his third and I guess we can call the greatest missionary journey. He's visited several of the churches he established on his second journey. And now he sends many of his companions, his mission companions, to Troas to wait for him while he continues visiting churches in Macedonia. Then he sets sail from Philippi. Our story begins in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and it's through verse 12. So it's a short story. So Mary, I think we should read it, and you start.
All right. Acts 20, beginning in verse 7. On the first day of the week, we all met together to break bread. Paul spoke to the group. Because he was planning to leave the next day, he kept on talking till midnight. We were all together in a room upstairs, and there were many lamps in the room.
A young man named Eutychus was sitting in the window. As Paul continued talking, Eutychus was falling into a deep sleep. Finally, he went sound asleep and fell to the ground from the third floor. When they picked him up, he was dead. Paul went down to Eutychus. He knelt down and put his arms around him. He said, "Don't worry. He is alive now."
Then Paul went upstairs again, broke bread, and ate. He spoke to them a long time, until it was early morning. Then he left. They took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted.
Well, what a story. I bet they talked about that for a while afterwards.
I think so, too. And as we said, it's easy to relate to long preaching and getting very sleepy. I think we've all been there one time or another.
Yeah. So it's a short story. So how would you outline this, Mary?
I'd outline it in a simple way. I've just got 3 points. The first is Paul preaches to midnight. That's Acts chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. And then about Eutychus. And that's Acts chapter 20, verses 9 and 10. And the third one is Paul continues preaching till morning. And that's Acts chapter 20, verses 11 through 12.
All right, good. Well, this happens on the first day of the week. One of the things from this story is that we get a glimpse into an early church worship service. This is one of the few glimpses we get from the New Testament of what they did during their assembly. So they were meeting together on the first day of the week, and that could have been a Saturday evening or a Sunday evening.
Is that just because in Jewish time, a day begins at sunset?
That's right. It goes from evening to evening. I think most scholars believe that Luke, who was the writer of Acts, is using Jewish time. And so more than likely, they were meeting on a Saturday evening, which was the first day of the week on Jewish time. So is the evening. And Mary, most of our listeners probably are used to meeting for worship during the day, during the morning possibly. But here, it's at night. So they're meeting on the first day of the week, and they met to break bread. This is probably a reference to taking the Lord's Supper. Mary, many, if not most of our listeners would be familiar with taking just a little piece of cracker and drinking a little juice as their experience of the Lord's Supper. But in the early church, portions would have been more like a meal. So there'd be much bread on the table and much wine on the table that they would eat and drink as they celebrated and remembered Jesus. And that would have been their experience of the Lord's Supper. Also in verse 7, it says Paul spoke to the group. That word spoke in the original language is the word dialogue. So here in this context, Paul is not just speaking in a monologue context. He's actually having a conversation with the church in this worship setting. And so sometimes it's appropriate to dialogue. So Paul was probably answering questions that they had. It was a back and forth kind of situation because Paul wanted them to know the Word of God. He wanted them to know what the Scripture said. He wanted to explain it to them, and they wanted to know too. So we have this glimpse, this window into a worship service, and Paul is dialoguing. They're sharing the Lord's Supper together. It's in the evening. So worship doesn't have to be in the morning. It can be any time of day when the church can gather together to remember the Lord. And sometimes it's good to have dialogue going on in the church because we want people to understand what the Scripture is saying.
Well, those are differences, but one thing that probably is the same is what we've alluded to earlier, this idea of preaching going on, and that sleepiness enters in. And I think we can relate to that. Here is an upper room. I think it says third floor in a little later on. So it's up high, probably hot. And then Luke mentions all these lamps, many lamps are on. So those would have been smoky oil lamps. So in this hot room, lamps, lots of people. You get this picture of, if you've ever been in that situation, it kind of makes you sleepy in that situation. So if somebody's just going on, it would be hard. And here's this young man, and I'm guessing he thought the window was going to help keep him awake. That's the key. I'll just get close to that window, the fresh air. I'm imagining him sitting on the ledge of that window. But as the preaching goes on, this young man gets sleepier and sleepier, and soon he's in a deep sleep, and it's at that time he probably just leaned or slumped. He was out that window, and remember, this is the third floor, so that is a long drop to the ground.
Mary, I can just imagine everyone mesmerized by Paul and the speaking, and all of a sudden they hear this thump and look over, and Eutychus isn't there. So I can imagine some of them or several of them rushing out down to see what's gone on and discover him dead.
So here is this situation. There's this dead boy. So Paul comes down and joins all of them as they're gathering around this young man. He kneels down and he takes Eutychus in his arms and he says, he's not dead now.
He's alive. And what do they do? Paul goes back upstairs and he continues on speaking as if nothing happened.
Can you imagine?
And it's all the way till morning. And wow, what an all-night worship service that would have been. I just think, the very last phrase, and they were greatly comforted. Of course they were greatly comforted. Like I said at the beginning, I'm sure they talked about this worship service for a long time afterwards. One more thing on this. This is the last recorded miracle of Paul as a missionary when he's moving about in his ministry. Wow, what a way to end your missionary career.
That's right. Raising this boy from the dead.
Mary, you said at the beginning that this is something that children can really relate to. So what were you talking about exactly? How can children relate to this story?
Well, I don't think it takes a lot of imagination to think what it would be like for a child sitting in our worship services now, today. And from their point of view, the preaching does go on and on and on, and it seems like till midnight. For a child who doesn't have that long attention span and is used to running and playing and being active, to sit still while the preaching's going on, that's a challenge to a child. And I think they understand really well why somebody would go to sleep during that time. I did that as a child. I remember lying my head on my mother's lap and sleeping during worship. So I think kids can really relate to that. And you said adults can relate.
Yeah. Sometimes I struggle to stay awake during a sermon. Even for adults, it can seem to go on and on.
That's right. There are many distractions. Children who are not in a church community miss out on this opportunity. It is a challenge to sit with a community of believers and hear the Word of God. That's a real honor. And a child can see not just other children, but they see adults worshiping. And there are lessons to learn about that, because as they grow in their faith and as they mature, they see these examples sitting in the same room, and they can look over and say, oh, that's what it's like to worship when you're 20. And they can look over at another person and says, oh, I know that person has been sick and they're here today. That's what it means to have faith and to worship when you're 50. You know, they have all these different examples. Just that on its own is an honor and a glimpse into the future for these children.
Yeah, that's great. Mary, I want to say a few things about what I think would be good in a Bible class when we're talking about this passage. And I think one of the insights from our story today is that learning about what Paul was doing, he was not just speaking, he was dialoguing in the worship assembly. And I think an effective teacher will include the class in the discussion. We'll ask questions that will encourage the class to go to the text for the answer. And also a good teacher will engage the class so that they will ask questions themselves. And so there's a back and forth of question and answer. And I think that will make a great and add a great dynamic to the class. And ask questions that will challenge the class to reflect on the text and how that relates to their lives. And ask questions that will challenge them to do something with what they have learned. And so that's one thing that I think we get from the story today. Another thing, this can be in a class or in a worship when you're listening to a preacher preach, is think about the question, what can help you and what can help me be a better listener when the word is being taught or when the word is being preached? And if you're in a class situation, ask them, what are some thoughts on that? And let the class generate some good responses. And I think they will. But you just think about some listening skills, and I think some of these are common sense. You may want to keep these things in mind about having and developing good listening skills. One is maintain eye contact with the preacher or teacher. Look at them. Don't be distracted by looking at what's going on over to your left or to your right, but just maintain eye contact. That will help you listen better. A second thing is just minimize distractions. Work to stay concentrated. You might have a bottle of water there, because keeping hydrated actually does help for you to stay more concentrated on something. If you have a Bible, open your Bible and follow along. Or if you're using your phone, open your phone and follow along. Now, let me just say something here. If you have a phone and you're reading your Bible from your phone, don't be tempted to check your messages. If you get notifications, you need to resist the temptation. You can do that later. And if you have a Bible and you have a phone with you, just put your phone on silence and just check it after everything is over. Just work to not let yourself be interrupted by your phone. So those are a few things that can be done to help you and to help me become a better listener when God's word is being preached or when God's word is being discussed. So Mary, what about children and helping them to understand?
Well, there's a lot to say about this. I think this story is really good. I want to make sure and cover this story. In fact, it's short enough. I could probably read this one to the children, but maybe some illustrations would be helpful, a flip chart or some slides to depict the story. Children really don't have a lot of control over many things. Their parents get them to worship when they arrive and to meet with the church. They may have had a really late night the night before. They may be very tired. That's in a lot of ways not in their control. That's really their parents that are controlling that situation. So in some ways, children can't make a lot of choices about some of these things. But I want to help children have some skills that will help them listen in worship. So I talk about that with the kids. Do realize that a child's body usually doesn't fit in a pew or a chair like an adult. If we had proportionally sized chairs, like your knees can't bend, your legs are just stuck out. And, you know, there's so much energy in a child. So it's almost a setup that's difficult. And so they're having to fight a lot of things. It's also, like I said earlier, an honor for them to listen. So I have some ideas. I've done those with my own children and children that sit with me from time to time in church. I like them to have a paper Bible, an actual Bible, because they can turn the pages and look through, especially as they begin to read. They can look up passages. If the preacher mentions a passage in the Bible, they can look up that book, chapter, and verse. That's one way to help them listen. They can also keep a tally of words. How many times does the preacher say Jesus? And they can make a mark every time the preacher says the word Jesus. Or even another way is to ask the preacher, what are you going to be preaching about today? What words do you think you'll use the most? And kind of ask the preacher to participate in that and then write those words down and tally those as they listen. I think it's really good for a child to have a little pad of paper, some blank paper, so they can do that. Sometimes children draw what they're hearing. That's another way of listening and participating in what's being said. They could take roll. They could write the names down of people around them. A small child can count how many smiles they see. Look, how many people are smiling today? How many people are frowning today? They can count some of those things. In one way, these are just keeping them busy, but it's busy around the things that are happening at the time. It's helping them participate in that community. And I think that's really important. As the years go by, they'll listen in different ways, and that's all good. A child can participate in all the areas that they're able to, and I think we should encourage them to. They can sing when singing is going on. During the prayer, they can close their eyes. They can be very still and bow their heads when the prayer is going on. If you have a contribution, if they're taking up money, you know, they can put money in the basket or the plate. There are a lot of ways that children can participate. And I think we should just encourage them to do that. I do know that different churches do things a little differently, and you just need to work with wherever you're at. Some churches have children in the worship service the whole time during all the preaching. This is an opportunity to help train your child to listen. It's a challenge, no doubt about it, but it really helps them. Sitting still and listening, even if you don't understand everything, it's not a bad thing. But other churches have the children dismissed during worship time or dismissed just during the preaching. Whatever your church does, look for opportunities to include your children so that they can be part of the church community. Those would be some of the things, David, I'd say that's almost more to teachers and parents than it is to children. But I think this is really important. We want to help them be a part of everything.
Yeah, that's really important, Mary, because we're all part of this community together, the young and the old. You know, Mary, some really good things you've mentioned there, and I was just thinking about my childhood, sitting in church with my parents, not always paying attention, but learning how to do church with them, and that was, I treasure that now. Those are good memories, and they were formative times in my life. It may not matter from Sunday to Sunday, but when you're doing it regularly, consistently, habitually, children do learn some good habits of worship and learn how to listen and want to listen. So those are memories that you're creating for your children that can be translated into actions of faith for the future.
So with all of that in mind, may God bless you as you speak into the lives of children and adults.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast. Subscribe now to listen to new weekly episodes and visit missionbibleclass.org for more free resources to help you share God's word with children.